This one, there's no advertisement at the table, but I am currently a 30-30 poet for Tupelo Press. I like to do this in May. So if you Google the 30-30 Project, every day in May, you'll see poems by 10 people. Christine Akins Wolf is one of them. So go on there and enjoy. If you want to donate, you're helping a great cause. Tupelo Press publishes Stacy Waite, C.M. Burroughs, and a number of other wonderful people. So when we come to the second poem, I'll tell you can turn over your pages, but not yet. The first one was published on May 7th on the Tupelo 3030, and it's called What Grail Do You Seek? Many of us know that we are on a quest. Something is missing from our lives, our culture. If you have an inkling, if your intuition whispers to you, you may find yourself swimming in a sea of ideals that send you toward Avalon. You may wish to find the grail, be it wooden cup without handles or gem-encrusted chalice of gold. Your heart wants to share the joy of communion, trust, love that the grail story began with. Where you seek is dependent on your readiness, on finding your guides, your gateway, your portal. If today finds you standing at that sacred threshold, though your grail may have another name, the Mystic Mountain, the Valley of Horses, if you find yourself thin-skinned and edgy, you may be called. Transformation means entering the unknown. This causes fractiousness. Open yourself to a sacred snake within. Shed skin and allow yourself to be guided. Luminosity awaits. Okay, you can turn them over, pass them out. I'll give you a second there. This has a date, so... Oh. Has a date, so it was also on the 3030, and they couldn't see the picture, so you're one ahead of them. If it's still coming around, just, you know, listen, and when you get it, you'll be astonished. It's called an exact double. What if everyone's best friend or spouse showed signs of having lived in another era? For example, I know my spouse was a Medici because I showed my mother a photo of my husband in an orange baker's cap. The brim pulled down on his head. She said it reminded her of something. On her travels home to Florida, she stopped in the Smithsonian Art Museum. She sent me a slide of a painting, one of the Medici princes. Same profile, same ear showing, same orange turban at the same angle as my spouse's cap, same face. The man in the painting appears to have plucked his eyebrows, eyelashes, and his mouth, same lips and chin, is closed, whereas H's mouth is open. Small differences, same man. One day, you'll spot someone in the street who looks exactly like your bestie or your spouse. You'll call their name, only to have a stranger turn around and stare. You are not a reciprocal doppelganger for them, which is just as well, considering. So my virtual friends got to read that too, but they didn't get the picture. It's astonishing, it really is. Okay, the next one is like Chris's. You get a little singing on this one because it's a performance piece. This is an oldie, but it's in my book because it's got green in it, and it's about something Irish. I'm of the Irish persuasion, and this is about some fake ancestors of mine. I totally made them up. Okay, but they're Irish-American at this stage. It's called Not Tonight, Dear, I Have a Headache. At the porcelain sink, small hands grip the rim. Mary's eyes out of focus. Ach, own, she murmurs. He is in the shower. Drillers and killers, she calls her headaches. This driller bores in like a jackhammer. The children suggest strong coffee, a weakness. She wears her cross like a crown. Septimus Sean sings in the shower, he whose grandfather, Septimus Sean, came over from County Roscommon, God's green gracious Ireland. He's droning a Scottish ditty full force through his nose. Somebody more boots and stockings, somebody more none and all, somebody more boots and stockings, marching through the bramble. Mary eases the hot on, not to disturb his supply. reaches for a green washcloth, compressed ahead, sighs, relief. Spasms ripple her legs. Mary, dear, hand me a soap. Sean's dark cap of curls appear, hand out. He stops, drops his hand. What ails you, woman? Not those damned headaches again. She's speechless. He yanks back the curtain, revealing brawny splendor, raven hair on chest, arms akimbo. Septimus Sean steps out, folds long arms around his wife. Shush, then. Don't mind this old bear, my dearest. Just you go and rest. You know I've no notion what you suffer, darling. Just you rest. You know me well. We'll keep moving on. All right, Mother's Day is coming up, so my last poem is in honor of my mother. My mother lived with me and my very patient husband from when she was a young 91 in 2004 until she was a very, very frail 99 in 2011 when she died. And after the reading, if you stick around, I have a little photo of her. She was tiny, like this high, but she was a mighty person. Every morning she said to me, she had macular degeneration of the retina, so she could no longer read, and she loved to read. I said, I'll read to you. She said, read me poetry. I love poetry. But Christine, no more than three per day. I can't absorb more than three. Okay, that's good. So this one's called July Mornings, Caring for My Elderly Mother Jean. Our third floor French door open. Beyond the foot of the bed, robins chirp in the cherry, our backyard tree giant. No cross breeze yet. I'm solo, sweaty. Howard's up, but not out yet. Sun pours in, hot day coming. Time to flip the pillow to the cool side, reach for glasses, heave feet to floor, smile, greet the day, and descend the stairs to prepare breakfast and three poems for Mom. Thank you.